I just want to leave you this evening with a few thoughts regarding the simple purpose of Christ's advent. We find in this text three things. His eternal home. He came down from heaven. As I said this morning, only the birth of Jesus represented a decrease in status. The birth of every other person is a definite improvement in status. It was a coming down. He said, I came down. A coming down in time. That is, he referred to a point in history when he came down from heaven. It was a coming down in place. He came down from heaven, from the place of glory, into the world. Place of sin, woe, degradation. It was a coming down in prestige. When he was in heaven, the angels stood to do his bidding. At an instant, they did his will. He was the glorious and eternal and invisible only begotten Son of the Father. But he came into this world. He came to be born in poverty. He came to walk among those whom he had made, who would not believe on him. Think also of his earthly occupation. He said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will. Oh, what a word to us tonight. Often in our lives, we are concerned with advancing our own wills. But there was in the Lord Jesus Christ a complete denial of self. That was part of his perfection. There was a denial of self in prerogative. The devil tempted him along these lines. Throw yourself down. He has commanded his angels to have charge of thee, and they'll catch thee, they'll bear thee up in thy foot, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You have the prerogative. Or, command that these stones be made bread. Why should you suffer hunger? You have the prerogative. But what was the response of our Lord Jesus Christ? Man shall live by the word of God. He shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There was a denial of self. I came down not to do mine own will. And there was a denial of self in operation. Whatever he did was not done to suit himself. I was just Friday. We were at the doctor's office, and I happened to see, it's funny how these things happen, there was on the table in the waiting room a copy of Time magazine. And it was from March of this year. And on the cover was Mary. And the story was all about how Protestants more and more are coming to appreciate Mary and to more and more venerate her. This is happening in various Protestant denominations. And I remember reading in that article how that even Protestants now are seeing in Mary that they have to depend on her to influence her son. But when we think about what the Lord Jesus said here, he said, I came not to do mine own will. And I think included in that is, I came not to do the will of anyone else. In the article, they talked about how he did his first miracle, albeit grudgingly, at the behest of his mother. And that is plainly at variance with the Scriptures. Because he said to her on that occasion, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. He did that miracle not at her behest, but at the behest of his Father.
Amen.
He did not come to do his own will. He denied himself in every facet of his life. And the third thing that we see in this text is his everlasting delight. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said, this is what gives me pleasure. This is what gives me delight. This, he said, is my meat, that I might do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. Notice he knew who he was. I always like to point that out in this text. He knew who he was. None of this of the critics of Christ. Well, he wasn't clear about his mission. Well, he came to it gradually. Well, he was influenced by his mother. Well, all of this. He said, this is why I came. This was the simple purpose. I came to do the will of him that sent me. He knew he had been sent. He knew who sent him. He knew where he was sent from. There was no doubt in our Savior's mind. And as he knew that he was sent, he said he rejoiced always in what the will of the Father was. It didn't bother him at all. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the devil was attacking him as fiercely as he ever attacked him, what was it the Lord Jesus said? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he went to the cross, not grudgingly, not because he couldn't help it. As he said to Pilate, he could at that very instant call for a legion of angels to come. He said that to Peter in the garden. But he rejoiced. I believe that the Lord Jesus, when he went to the cross, in the midst of all that he had suffered in the way of persecution, I believe that he rejoiced to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Here was the simple purpose of Christ's advent. He came from heaven. He came not to advance his own agenda. He came to do that which the Father sent him to do. And of course, it was impossible that there should be any conflict there because Jesus, as we read last week, is in the bosom of the Father. There is a complete union, a perfect fellowship there. So it should not have been possible for Jesus to advance an agenda that was at odds with the Father. We can rejoice this Christmas night that our Savior came down from heaven, and that coming from heaven, he knew that he was here for the purpose of carrying out the Father's grand mission, and he knew that when that was finished, he would be returning to the place from which he came. I came down from heaven, he said, and the disciples witnessed the event when the one who came down from heaven rose from the earth back into heaven. And when we think of that, we think of the final day when he shall come again down from heaven, not this time to be born of the virgin and laid in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, but coming this time on a white horse, accompanied by the armies of all his blood-bought people, and all the hosts of heaven riding with him, coming this time to bring an end to history, to bring the day of judgment. And when we think of that, ought we not to heed the words of verse 37? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let this be the night when you come to him. He will not cast you out. Coming to Christ You will then be assured that you are included in the first part of verse 37, given to him from the foundation of the world. May the Lord bless you. The world's observance of Christmas Day, of course, is ending. I don't know about your house, but at our house, it will continue on tomorrow. We put that celebration off till tomorrow so we might give our concentration to the Lord's Day. I wish for you all a Merry Christmas, and I give to all of you greetings for a Happy New Year. Look forward to continuing on in the work that God has given us to do.